Hey, everybody, it's Godfrey here. If you are listening to any Split Zone Duo product, and it is between April 15th and April 19th, Monday, April 15th, Friday, April 19th, the year of our Lord 2024, stop what you're doing, hit pause, we need your money, again, I want you to go support the 2024 Charity Bowl, all right? So, the New American Pathways Charity, some of you guys instantly know what I'm talking about. If you don't, just hang tight, I'm going to help you out. The New American Pathways Charity. This is started by Every Day Should Be Saturday. So that's Spencer Hall and Holly Anderson. But I'm talking about our whole sort of extended universe that gets in on this. So if you're a Channel 6 fan, if you're a Shutdown Fullcast fan, Split Zone Duo, Vacation Bible School, I'm probably leaving somebody out. This is the time of year we sort of all come together and we give money to a really, really good cause. And we do it by being really, really spiteful, usually by incorporating wonderful college football scores into the dollar amounts that we donate. Great example, classic example. Remember when West Virginia scored 70 points against not yet really, you know, like national title caliber Clemson, but I don't want to take anything away from that wonderful moment in Dana Holgorsen. 70-33, you can make a $70.33 donation if you are a Mountaineer fan. You know, by all means, do whatever you want. Go through there, create a dollar figure that in somehow, way, shape, or form makes you feel good as a college football fan. If you want to give money and compete to elevate your school, so if you're a Texas A&M fan or you're a Southern Cal fan, a Vanderbilt fan, it doesn't matter. There's a drop down for your school. There's also small schools too, by the way. It's not just an FBS thing, guys. If you want to donate under Split Zone Duo, we just did that. Myself, Alex, and Richard, we threw $1,000 into the pot. We want you guys to do the same. Donate what you can. The way to find the link right now, if you're listening, visit any of our social feeds. You can go to Channel 6. You can go to Spencer's page. Every Day Should Be Saturday. Any stuff on any social media, there's going to be a link to New American Pathways. You can also visit their website, newamericanpathways.org. Find the splash page. I trust that you can do it. I'm not going to read out the crazy long URL here, okay? You can also donate via mobile. You can text Charity Bowl 24 to 91999 if it's after Monday, which, if we did this right, it's after Monday. Okay, last thing, if you don't know, what is New American Pathways? They support refugee families that are resettled in America from the day that they arrive in our country. So as soon as they touch the airport until the day that they take their citizenship exams, this is a huge task. It involves a range of needs and skill sets. It's everything from locating and maintaining safe housing, getting children enrolled in local schools, job training, language classes, legal aid, after-school programs. This is a massive undertaking to ensure that people achieve the American dream that all of us probably take for granted because we're usually busy screaming at each other about college football on the internet. Just, you know, it's kind of a thing that we do. So, New American Pathways, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. Please go give money. Please. Last year's donation, I believe last year it says the initial tally here, I'm reading some notes that Holly sent over, combined with the matching corporate donations, $933,000. That's really close to a million. And I know Holly and I know her sort of, let's call it like a need to sort of expand the empire here, manifest destiny. Let's make that a million this year, okay? Also, if you love Michigan, you know all about this charity. Michigan always wins, it feels like. If you don't love Michigan, good opportunity here to, you know, donate them out of the top spot. I don't even have a Connor Stallions joke here. Just if you want to give money to preserve the Michigan dynasty or destroy it, you should be incentivized in the worst possible way to help one of the best charities possible. And is that not the purpose of college football internet? New American Pathways, New American Pathways, New American Pathways.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
Everybody, you do your job! You understand that?
Hey, will you shut up?
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Split Zone Duo, this is The Single Wing. My name is Stephen Godfrey at 38 Godfrey. I am your parasocial pal. Little late getting these questions addressed. I did a solicitation a week ago, but we had to look, you're never going to complain when you're running a media company, especially one about football, and you got too much content in April. So That's a pretty good problem to have. We wanted to get some other shows off that we had recorded, different projects that the three of us are individually or some permutation thereof were working on. So I had solicited for y'all's single wing questions for this and probably another one that I'll do off of it. And the boys were like, hey, I want to do this week. I want to do this week. And so we also did the feed integration via Spotify as well as the Substack RSS migration. So it's an integration and a migration. Hopefully all of that worked on your end. You're happier for it. We have picked up some new folks coming in, and you're listening to this as a new follower or free subscriber on Substack. Welcome. My name is Stephen Godfrey. I'm only going to do this once, but some of you are going to get the free sample of this for like 6-7 minutes or something like that. This show is me answering questions, and that's it. It is essentially a Q&A or a monologue, if you will, for the next 55-ish minutes or sometimes 2.5 hours. Shit gets out of control. I am recording this on Sunday, April 14th. Anyone golf inclined is probably watching the Masters right now, but the old heads here will know that's not me, but I am clearing my schedule for the week. I've got multiple projects going on, some long-term stuff that I promise as soon as I can let y'all in on it, I am going to do so excitedly. Recording this week, if you are listening in the feed on time, I will not be on the big show this week. I will be back, I think, the following, but you'll probably hear me again on another single wing. And then look, some of y'all just bank episodes, and that's totally okay with me. You just kind of crush them out doing like a yard work situation or a drive. I've been there. That's kind of how I do it with the podcast I listen to, which is not this one because I'm not a sociopath. Not because listening to SCD makes you a sociopath, but definitely listening to a podcast that you make, especially a single wing that you are the sole host of. If I just put that on casually and actually enjoyed it, I would call for some sort of state agency to come wrap me up and take me away. Nice mix here. On these, we're just going to kind of bounce off of them. Let's jump into it. Sean Moriarty, what's the word on Danny White at UT a few years in? Fans are thrilled, but what do insiders say? Insiders in the case of Tennessee would be smart, and they are, to reflect that fans are thrilled. Full stop. Let's look back at Tennessee, or let's not. Minus pre Danny White. I'm not saying Danny White is necessarily the author of all the success here, but I do think that he sort of ultimately, it all funnels back to him. You can make great hires and still not have, I think, the kind of success and the kind of luck and the kind of just like, I mean, dare I say it, vibes that this program has had. I shouldn't say program, I should say athletic department, which I don't normally pay attention to a whole lot, but it's kind of hard not to. One, this is the dominant in-state brand in the state that I've lived in for, I don't know, 18 years now. If you know anything about this region, there's not a lot to complain about for the Vols. I know they did just make the biggest change, the biggest question mark that they have on deck is the fact that they are making a change in women's basketball. And that's it. And I don't want to say that to be glib because women's basketball at Tennessee, I would argue that, you know, unless we're talking about UConn, I'm doing this on the fly, so I'm kind of stuttering to make sure I don't insult it. Actually, you know, so UConn and maybe back in the day, Louisiana Tech, the Lady Vols are a Tiffany program. They're a premier brand. Obviously, post-Pat Summit, it has not been the same. But, you know, the idea that they've gone away or can't come back, that's foolish. It will be very interesting to see as women's basketball has hit an apex to see a program like the Lady Vols come back to that national level, to that, you know, where South Carolina and LSU are now in the SEC. They just hired a woman named Kim Caldwell, who is a non-Vol, which is an interesting move because I think it's been, I am riffing off of local headlines that I read very quickly. I'm certainly no authority on basketball whatsoever, but I believe it's a non-Vol hire, non-Vol tree, non-Pat Summit tree hire. It's going to be very interesting. So she was a coach at Marshall last year, and I was kind of reading up on her when they made the hire. It will be very interesting because that, aside from like Peyton Manning, T. Martin era as a cash, who has now lived here for more than he's lived anywhere else in his life, that I associate Lady Vol basketball and Pat Summitt with the Tennessee brand more than anything other than like, yeah, Peyton Manning, T. Martin. That's about it. That's how important it is. And you might not know that. Also, in baseball, they've kind of become a baseball school, which is a big deal inside the SEC. If you're rolling your eyes at that, you're not in that region or you're not in like a warm weather state year round. I get it. I don't pay much money. I do not like college baseball as a product. I don't dislike it. I'm not like mad that it exists, but it's about the last thing I want to watch on television because of the way it's paced. Look, I listen to Braves baseball on the radio, so please don't like, this isn't an anti-baseball screed either or about pay. It's just, I don't know. College baseball has never been a thing for me. If you're on campus and you're doing the tailgate, you're doing one of those in-stadium tailgates that you can do at like my alma mater or Mississippi State. I think Arkansas does it. I know LSU has, you know, you can't really do it inside the box, but like those are great environments if you're in those towns, but it's just, it's a tough follow for me in season. However, they are a good baseball program too, which they were not for a long, long time. Tony Vitello, he's kind of like the heel manager in pro wrestling of SEC baseball coaches. So it's kind of cool. At least they have identity. It clashes really well with Vanderbilt. Tim Corbin, Tony Vitello, that's a great rivalry. The question's about Danny White. He's a gangster. Full stop, full service, done. No, we don't have to debate it. A lot of y'all have been asking me about how, like, where's that, when does that definition apply? How is it applied? Well, it applies when I say it. That's the first thing. But also, yes, he has brought the warring factions to heel by providing success and a reaffirmation of identity. That's all you need. I told a friend of the program, Ryan Nanny, this last week. I have a dream, probably audio documentary, like getting a narrative podcast off the ground. And I don't want to give up the ghost right here, but I would love to make a doc or a whatever about the, I don't really want to go any more specific than that. I have a very specific idea, but I kind of want to just like hush it because I do think you can take Tennessee and apply it to a mass audience. And like, you don't have to like the SEC. In fact, it may work better if you don't. You don't have to have ever been to Tennessee. But I think you can take a certain slice of time in the Volunteers' existence and their identity and expectation, reality, presumption, how boosters work, how state legislatures work, how those like key, I guess you'd call them mega boosters back in the day, like, you know, I'm talking about the Haslam family. Like, oh, it'd be a great story to tell. Great story. Danny White has just calmed things. Look, fuck everything I just said. If you want a simple answer, it's this. He made a hire a lot of us, myself included, I kind of combo laughed at, shrugged at. And it worked. And do I think that like Heupel is going to bring about a playoff era national championship to Tennessee? No. But I also still, even with the expansion to 12, don't think the national title exists but for maybe 12 teams in the entire country. But he made Tennessee good. He made Tennessee fun. He made Tennessee noticeable for casuals again. He made them interesting for in recruiting circles on offense. None of that shit was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be a bad, dumb, oversimplified, gimmicky offense from the group of five. It might be all those things, but it's fucking working, bro. they went pillar to post with the best defenses, the defenses that defined not the identity of the league, but like a generation of football, a fucking generation of football that starts when Nick Saban gets LSU going in 2000 and ends, I guess, when Nick Saban retires this January. College football was defined by that Saban defense, the way you built programs, the ruthlessness of it. So when Tennessee was lost for the ninth time and had been humiliated for the, you know, 900th in terms of a direction we're going to go, they had already failed spectacularly multiple times with Saban assistance, and they bring in this galoof and it works. So what I said in the beginning was when they hired Josh Heupel, I laughed at first because of the environment that was going on. And also like Danny White is not an agent's best friend as an AD, which you may think like, oh, it's good. That's what I want in AD. Not necessarily, man. You kind of want your AD to be everybody's best friend when it comes to that part of the job. you don't want to be considered difficult because you don't want, you know, you in any hire that you make as an athletic director, you want as many qualified candidates as available to you as possible. White's, dude, he's a prick. I think he'd probably appreciate me saying that. I've locked horns with him on social media before. Like, I knew him when he was coming up through the system. He comes from this sort of premier AD college athletics family. You know, he's got a brother that's an AD. He's got another brother that's a basketball coach. He's got brothers, all this guy. Like, he's built in a lab to sort of, you know, be the 80s teen movie villain, but they needed it. It worked. Heupel, like this joke hire, it doesn't matter if Tennessee, look, people are asking me, what do you think about the Vols this year? Like, oh, you know, we kind of hit a valley. Okay, so what? Say everything goes bad for the Vols this season, and they are, let's say it's a slow bleed, 7-5 this year, then they sub 500, they want to make a change. Into 25. There's no fucking way at the end of 25, if you make a change, that Tennessee's not operating from a stronger position in every sense of that term than they were when they hired him. That you have to credit the AD as the leader for doing. He's a fucking great bridge coach. That, like, I made fun of it, and we were laughing, and we were sparring on Twitter with him, and like a lot of Tennessee fans didn't fight me back at all at the time because they were just so, it was such a low morale situation. Like, they beat Alabama. They've advanced in every way, shape, and form as a program. There's nothing to laugh at anymore. So if he's fired and it doesn't work out or whatever, he was the best fucking bridge coach you could have ever asked for, because now when they go to market, they don't have to do something ill-advised and audacious, like try to get into a double-digit million a year bidding war over like a James Franklin. Hint, hint. So he's, you know, you asked me about White. It's kind of a success bar none. It doesn't really matter. I mean, he could blow everything up. You could always have a program crippling scandal, something terrible or something goofy. I mean, alternating between terrible and goofy was pretty much the way that Tennessee embarrassed itself for the better part of two decades. But I don't really feel like that's going to happen under White, or if it does, because bad things happen at every major program. Look at Georgia right now. Anything that involves a combustion motor and wheels. But I do think that they'll handle it in a much more less puke on yourself fucking manner than they have in the past, again, two odd decades. So to that, not really dying to have a cup of coffee with the man or, you know, split a bottle of wine over dinner or anything, but the dude's a fucking unqualified success at Tennessee. There's no arguing that whatsoever. Nate, there's been a lot of Virginia Tech buzz this season, off season. Sorry. He said off season. Coach Pry gets a lion's share of the credit for the defense, even though last year was DC Chris Marv's first year calling the defense full time. Let me stop there and say, don't split the hair. Don't split the hair. If your team is winning more than they were previously in a rebuild, which check. If this is a first-time head coach, former career coordinator, check. And his old side of the ball is kind of helping lead the way, check. Also at a place where that side of the ball tends to embody the identity of the program historically, check. Don't split the hairs. It's fucking weird for me that Chris Marv is like a defensive coordinator of Virginia. It's an age thing. Like, I remember interviewing him when he was in a uniform and shoulder pads. Don't fuck with it. Chris Marv is a Coach Pry guy for obvious reason. He played for Coach Pry. Like, just let it be. Okay. So don't worry about that. Don't be like, even though it was this or that, whatever. By the way, Nate's not doing that. I think other people might be like, well, it's still Brent Pry's defense. Well, like, yeah, no shit. That's how it works. It's also Lane Kiffin's offense. That might not be the best example, but if you have a guy who's defined his career that way, we'll talk about Brent Venables in the next question, and maybe I'll expound more on that. Let me get back to this. With the understanding that the head coach is always the guy in terms of credit or blame, how does a coordinator distinguish themselves under a coach with a rep on their side of the ball? I just explained that. Is it harder? And given that the coordinators that are on the way up prefer to work for coaches who come from the other side of the ball, Hang on, let me reread that one. And given that, do coordinators that are on the way up prefer to work for coaches who come from the other side of the ball? There is not a yes or no answer to that, Nate, but there's a pretty strong argument that you fucking don't want to do that because if Dan Mullen went through a lot of defensive coordinators, okay? It was not great for the Brile to be a DC in the Brile system. I am pulling these out of my head in real time. If you are coming up as an opposite side coordinator of a newish head coach, even when they're on the way up and things are working, you generally got to be more patient. And this is why you often see a lot of veterans coming in on that opposite side.